WrestleMania is now just 3 weeks away as the countdown continues. Undertaker and Roman Reigns is now official. Baron Corbin and Dean Ambrose, and of course, Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens for the U.S. title. I'm going to talk about all of this. Where does this leave Braun Strowman? Is AJ and Shane McMahon actually a good match? All of this, plus my Raw, SmackDown, and Fastlane review. Yep, right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, a weekly show dedicated to discussing the current pro wrestling product through all of the good.
AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion!
And the bad.
Number 30. The big dog is gonna hunt!
The WWE Podcast reviews every Raw, SmackDown Live, and WWE pay-per-view event, giving an unfiltered opinion, even sharing some favorite wrestling memories.
Oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin thought he'd come out here and give you a little present right from the bottom of my heart.
Oh! No! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Austin just gets stuck in the starter!
And now, here's your host, the man who doesn't play a bad guy on TV and loves sharing his passion for a Roman Reigns heel turn, Matt Corsell.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the WWE Podcast / Matt's Madness. It is March 10th, 2017, as I record this. It is a Friday, and it is 3 weeks until WrestleMania 33, and there is a lot to cover. I was very excited to do the show this week. I have my notes in front of me. I'm ready to go, even though we're rumored now to be getting a blizzard next week, and it was 75 a week and a half ago. Welcome to March in the Northeast. And hopefully wherever you are, the weather is cooperating. March can be a very tumultuous month and very schizophrenic with the weather. So, hey, we are in WrestleMania season. We're in the home stretch of WrestleMania season. We got some answers. We got some questions. We've got a Fastlane review that I am going to give you guys. And I'm really not trying to be a negative Nancy. Before I get into it, because I'm a little bit passionate about Fastlane here, I just want to let you guys know how to find me. I know. In case you're like, hey, how do I talk to this guy? How do I talk to this fool? How do I get in contact with this guy and let him know what sucks, what's great, or just want to say hi? Easy. You just contact me on Twitter. It's at Matt's Madness. I'm also under the WWE podcast name, so just check me out there, and I will be happy to converse with you, negatively, positively. Doesn't matter. I'm here, guys. That is the best way to get in touch with me. You can also go to mattsmadness.com or the WWEpodcast.com. It's just WWEpodcast.com. That site is still, it's up and running, but it is under construction still as I continue to modify and make improvements. And you're more than welcome to check out those sites. And really, the best way to support the show is on iTunes. Rate and review and subscribe. I promise it's free and it's the best way to support the show. And I do appreciate many of you who have given me some feedback and how to make things better. I'm working on it. It's a work in progress. There's no such thing as a final product in the podcasting industry. You're always looking for things to make better and improve and delete and insert. So guys, listen, Fastlane. What would I think of Fastlane? If you took the booking out of this match and you put it aside on the shelf, and you locked it away and threw away the key, I would say Fastlane was a very good show. Now, that's from a pure wrestling perspective. You take the wrestling, and you look at that in a vacuum, and this was a very good show. Jack Gallagher and Neville, I think, stole the show from a wrestling perspective. And to be honest with you, the booking there was also the correct way, in my opinion, the correct outcome of Neville being the king of the cruiserweights, the big bully, love it, I think everybody is loving Neville at this point. He's reinvented himself and come out of obscurity from just being that happy-go-lucky babyface that just waited for him to do his finish maneuver, and that was pretty much it. And he's really coming to his own. I'm loving it. So, a bravo standing ovation to Jack Gallagher. Gallagher, right? Not Gallagher. Gallagher and Neville. Very good. Now, I normally go through this and go match by match, but you know what? The hell with it. I think from a booking perspective, this was one of the worst shows WWE's had. So when you put that into the equation and you add the wrestling to it, this was a D pay-per-view. If you look at it from a wrestling perspective, as I said, B plus, A minus. You add the story perspective, the booking, and it almost gets a failing grade. Why? Because WWE is shooting themselves in the foot by taking away three streaks with no fanfare on freaking Fastlane. You take Braun Strowman's undefeated streak, toss that out the window. You take Charlotte's undefeated streak on pay-per-views. Let's get rid of that while we're at it. Oh, and Nia Jax. Yeah, she's got a little bit of something going. Let's put some cold water on that, too. Let's put out every fire that we've built, and let's just take a huge dump truck of water. Let's take a water tower and unleash it on this fire that we built. It makes no sense. And it was on Fastlane. And it was very little fanfare. Nobody's benefiting here. It just made no sense for these three individuals to lose and break their streaks. Now you have to start from the ground up. Why wouldn't... I would say, out of the three, the most infuriating is by far Charlotte's. Because they would bring that up every pay-per-view. You would have Charlotte's streak be brought up. She would use it in promos. It was her foundation. She was defined by pay-per-views. And yes, WWE made her look average to less than average on Raws, where she just forgot how to win on TV unless it's a pay-per-view. I get that. Okay. But suddenly, they just take her legs and take the rug out and pull out from underneath her. That's literally what they did. You take that. You put Bayley in there, who WWE has completely mismanaged. And it's not a character that's difficult to understand. Bayley is a pure, humble, do-good character that succeeded in NXT. It worked. It's not like they had to reinvent the wheel with Bayley, and instead you had her accept a championship that was tainted. This pure character accepts a tainted championship. It is ridiculous. And then she goes and defeats Charlotte on pay-per-view with very little mention of it. Very little. Very little. No build. And you had Bayley win the freaking title on Raw and then go to a pay-per-view. And yeah, let's get rid of Charlotte's pay-per-view streak while we're at it. This is something WWE could have monetized and kept going. They couldn't even make it to WrestleMania. Why would you do that? You kill momentum when you do that. Yes, wins and losses in pro wrestling don't necessarily matter. But when you have win streaks, they matter. Look at Kurt Angle's winning streak when he debuted. That mattered. That made an impact. Why? Because I remember it. Yes, Kurt Angle went on to be one of the best professional wrestlers, best amateur wrestlers of all time. We know that. But it made an impact, and he had something to go on. And when somebody finally defeated him for that streak, it meant something. Undertaker's streak, let's get rid of that too. And we all know where that led, and that's a very controversial very controversial finish as well to that streak. We all know. It's been well documented for the last 3 years. So WWE gets rid of Sasha or Nia Jax's streak as well. Gets rid of Braun Strowman's, which also infuriated me, not because they ended it with Roman Reigns, but because of how it ended with Roman Reigns clean. You built this guy very well. Bravo to WWE. It was done extremely well, more so than I think anybody ever expected Braun to succeed at, myself included. I do not pretend to believe that I thought this guy would be what he was, and that's a testament to Braun Strowman, the man, his athleticism, which is a staple and really sets him apart from what you would view that type of body as. You know, he moves around like a guy that's 100 pounds less than what he is. So to Braun to do that, he's believable on the mic. He has been booked correctly. And you take that and you have him just built for who? Roman freaking Reigns. You have him built just so Roman can take him down. Why? Oh, so he can face The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Instead of having The Undertaker come out and have him interfere in that match without really interfering, where he would cause a distraction. Maybe the gong goes off as Roman's about to spear Braun and you have Undertaker appear or not appear. Some kind of magic trick, hocus pocus, that could have happened, which causes a distraction and Braun to win, would have made sense. It keeps Braun's streak alive. It keeps saves face for Roman. And Undertaker is able to exact his revenge for what happened to him at Royal Rumble. Instead, he comes out the next night on Raw, and instead of Undertaker interrupting Roman, Roman interrupts the Undertaker, which is backwards to me, because now Roman is trying to pick a fight with the guy, you know, that's a long-standing legend in WWE. So apparently this match is going to be just a fight over whose yard, basically, who's the big dog in the yard. First of all, I'm really tired of hearing it. It was cool when Undertaker was the guy who was actually the dog, big dog in the yard. Why? And they gave him that nickname because he was, not just because they're trying to, WWE is trying to put that slogan and make us really believe that Roman Reigns is the big dog in the yard. I'm tired of Michael Cole saying it. It makes me want to vomit because it's forced. It doesn't feel like he really is, because he's not. He's not. WWE is trying to make us feel that it's a passing of the torch, that the new big dog of the yard is now going to be Roman Reigns. Okay, bullshit. I don't believe it. Guys, I don't swear a lot in the podcast, but when I feel it, it comes out. And I apologize to those of you who are maybe a little bit, maybe you didn't tune into this podcast to hear swearing. And I don't try to make this podcast about that. There's enough wrestling podcasts out there that just drop F-bombs. And I like to keep it classy. I really do. But when I feel it and a word is warranted, it comes out. And it is BS. I don't buy it. And here's the one thing, and I've completely got off Fastlane. I will get back on it, and of course I will talk about Monday Night Raw. But one last quick note about Fastlane before I get in a little more detail. About the Undertaker Roman match. This is a match that Vince McMahon has to know. WWE, not just Vince, everyone knows that Roman is going to get booed against The Undertaker. And apparently, you know, that's probably looked at as, well, it's The Undertaker. And, you know, most people get booed against The Undertaker. But here's the thing. Roman would get booed against anybody at WrestleMania, not just because it's The Undertaker. So the argument that, well, it's The Undertaker, of course he's going to get booed, that's garbage. That is a makeup on a zit. That is the fact that Roman Reigns is going to get booed or would get booed against anyone at WrestleMania. Braun Strowman, Rusev, I don't care who they put in there. Roman would have got booed against anybody. So if that's the logic, that can be tossed out the window. And here's the one last point, and then we're going to take a quick break. Vince McMahon, at this point, maybe he doesn't even care. And the heel babyface rule does not apply to Roman Reigns. And he's just saying, you know what? This is a match that I need to have happen. It's above Cena, Undertaker, because Roman is the future, where Cena is pretty. He's still the present, but he's more past. It's about building to the future. So I understand why Cena Undertaker didn't happen, and it's Roman Undertaker. I get it. And he's tossing the heel babyface out the window. He knows Roman's going to get booed. He's just going to probably keep the character the same with Roman Reigns, and it's just about building him as a star. I don't care what reaction he gets. He's just a star. Bullshit. It is not just about building him as a star. I don't know why they're trying to reinvent the wheel of professional wrestling and what works and what doesn't. When WWE positions him as a babyface, he's going to get booed. You can't have people look at this character and somehow accept him as for what he is, and just say, well, as long as this is about just making Roman a star. That's such a cop out crap answer. That your mission of having Roman Reigns become a successful babyface has failed. So now your psyche is saying, well, you know what? No, it's not about that anymore. It's about just making him a star. That is a cop-out, lame excuse for your failure of making him a successful babyface. It is not a success that you're just making him a star. You need to cast people in evil and in good. That is literally what it comes down to. The formula has not changed. Vince McMahon can say, well, we're not professional wrestling. That's what my dad did. You're still professional wrestling. You are still professional wrestling. And back then you could even say it was entertainment. Why? Because professional wrestling is entertainment without calling it entertainment. So, guys, I'm going to take a breather. I'm going to take a break. On the other side, guys, we're going to get into Monday Night Raw. We're going to talk a little bit more in depth about Fastlane and, of course, SmackDown Live.
The following announcement has been paid for by Beatdown Wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's main event time. The best professional wrestling game ever made is coming to Kickstarter. Beatdown Wrestling, the board game, is launching soon. Beatdown Wrestling features 10 original pro wrestlers, over 180 game cards, custom dice, and a beautifully designed game board. This is a 2-4 player game that will make you put your controllers down for good. Use strategy and skill to defeat your opponent and capture the gold. Visit us today at beatdownwrestling.com and follow us on social media. Join the Beatdown Club. Beatdown Wrestling, the only pro wrestling board game that matters. Beatdownwrestling.com. Visit us today.
All right, guys, welcome back, and let's get a little more into the nitty-gritty about Fastlane. I won't spend too much more time on it. I love Samoa Joe and Sami Zayn. That was booked correctly. And, you know, sometimes if something's predictable, fans always complain. Well, some of the criticism that fans hear, and I'm sure that WWE is obviously hears this, that, oh, everything's too predictable. I would not do WWE, if I were WWE, any wrestling organization, I would not do unpredictable just for the sake of being unpredictable. If something is predictable, but it's the right thing to do, you do it. And that's why I have an issue with some of the things I do with Monday Night or Fastlane. Okay, Samoa Joe versus Sami Zayn, loved it. It was exactly what it needed to be. Joe won as expected. It was physical. It was very successful win for both guys, and I don't think Sami Zayn is hurt by it. He's kind of like that the door that established stars go through to you know, because Sami has that intangible quality of making anybody look good. That is an asset as a wrestler. It's not about making yourself look good, because people will want to work with you if you can make them look good, and Sami Zayn is that guy. So, bravo. Good job on that match. And Enzo and Cass versus Gallows and Anderson. I hate to say it, but who cares? It was a fast match. It ends with Enzo getting kicked and putting his foot on the rope only to have Gallows push it off. And so still champions, Gallows and Anderson, which I think is the right move. And I'll say it again. You know, Gallows and Anderson, they have been, since debuting in WWE, not really, I think they're a victim of the booking too, and all of their awful comedy that they had to endure did damage, and they don't feel important right now. Even more alarmingly, the tag team championships do not feel important right now. And Enzo and Cass, as hot as they were, as I say this, I feel like I'm repeating myself, but they have had a lot of damage done to them since their debut. Enzo, as he's becoming obnoxious, not really likable. And as I said, the Rusev angle, I think, is probably exhibit A of damage to Enzo's character. So, you know, again, can they repair it? Yeah, but let's move along here. Sasha and Nia Jax, I thought this was a really good match. I don't know why Nia didn't go for the pin after the leg drop. Like, I don't know. I just don't understand. Sasha won with a roll-up. Really good facials from Nia after the loss. But again, you've now put cold water on that streak. Made no sense. I don't get it. But okay, it's to put Sasha in a triple threat, which ultimately I think will be a fatal four-way with Nia. But I just don't understand. Don't get it. Jinder Mahal versus Cesaro, especially the pay-per-view before WrestleMania. It's not even one of their top five pay-per-views, top six pay-per-views. I just don't get it. Jinder Mahal versus Cesaro, look, this is a filler match. It got more time than the tag team title match, which is insane. It ends with a distraction from Rusev, and Cesaro gets the win. Rusev assaults Jinder after the match as jacked up Jinder, who just continues to grow veins and lose body fat week after week. It's getting kind of weird. I'm sure Vince McMahon is orgasming in the back, but it is not something really, to me, is it's weird. It's almost too much. But anyway, Rusev assaults Jinder after the match. Big Show comes out to confront Rusev, and they have their match. Great. Big Show wins decisively with a knockout punch. And I guess that new haircut from Rusev didn't help. You know, sometimes a new face or a new new look has new outcomes, but it's new look, same outcome for Rusev. And maybe Big Show moves on to Shaq. You know, there's been more teasing of that lately with Shaq sending Big Show pictures of himself that I have abs too. So maybe it'll be, I don't think it'll be nearly as good if it is a match as Floyd Mayweather, but we'll see if it actually happens. Jack Gallagher versus Neville for the Cruiserweight Championship, as I said, really good match. Match of the night. Started out slow, but they were able to, it was so good that they were able to bring the people in and grab them. It ends with Neville retaining with the Red Arrow. Loved it. Very, very good match. I would give these guys the crown for the match of the night. New Day pushes their ice cream dream. Who cares? New Day is growing stale. And that's not a pun on ice cream. It is just, or actually a better pun would have been, New Day's act is growing cold. And they have a rocky road ahead of them. There. You want a good pun? There it is. Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns. Look, I really enjoyed the match itself. Good effort on both ends. It ends with, unfortunately, the outcome I was fearing of Roman Reigns winning clean. Are you kidding me? I've said enough about that. No taker. It was a clean victory. Literally the worst possible scenario for that match. No taker. Roman wins clean. Yep. Bayley versus Charlotte for the Women's Championship. Good match. You know, I think this might have been their best so far. But again, what the F? I literally have that on the paper here with the booking. Charlotte's pay-per-view streak is over. Sasha comes out to interfere on Bayley's behalf. I just don't understand. And I literally wrote, this booking is insane. I don't get it. Charlotte is the heel. You should have someone come out. I thought, now here's what would have made sense to me. Sasha comes out, fine. Because Dana Brooke was banned. So you figure that Sasha is going to have an even Steven match one-on-one to see who the better woman is. Sasha comes out, fine. But instead, turns on Bayley and costs her the championship, maintaining Charlotte's pay-per-view streak. It goes back to the rightful owner, which in my case, Charlotte should have never lost, ever. To me, I would have kept that belt on Charlotte from last WrestleMania. But instead, we get Bayley, who's the babyface, getting help from Sasha. And it was, again, the worst possible outcome. It just, this booking, I would have loved to have sat down with the individuals who have made this decision, the agents and Vince, and say, guys, you are not squeezing all of the juice out of the lemon of all of the three of these streaks. Made no sense. Goldberg versus Kevin Owens. I have no issue with it. I know some people didn't like it, but I enjoyed it. I think that it was the right move. Jericho's music hit right as the match was beginning. I mean, I know there was 20 seconds that Kevin had actually survived, but he gets hit with a spear and a jackhammer, and you have a new Universal Champion in Goldberg. And Jericho got probably the biggest pop of the night, well-deserved. And the only issue I have, or actually, it's not even an issue. It's an observation that the longer Goldberg sticks around, he's kind of the law of diminishing returns. He's going to be exposed. I think the WrestleMania audience will probably be 60-40 against Goldberg and in favor of Brock, because Goldberg's contract is scheduled to expire as of WrestleMania. Brock is a little bit more respected in terms of inside the ring. He's a decorated legitimate combat athlete. Goldberg is extremely limited on the mic and in the ring. Outside of his look and his intensity, he hasn't got a whole lot, and he's riding the coattails of his 1990s success that he was the right guy at the right time in the right place. But bell to bell, I don't expect Goldberg and Brock to have, I would say the over-under is, what, 5 minutes? You know, and I think that the longer Goldberg's here, the more negative reaction he's going to receive. I think that the bloom is off the rose. The rose is off the bloom? One of them. And then Goldberg is probably getting out at the right time with WWE. Raw review, guys. Let's get into it. Jericho opens the show. Very positive reaction. And he says that Chicago is the birthplace of Y2J and now the resurrection of Jericho. He says that Kevin Owens had it coming. And Jericho said he's hurt, angry, confused, and he calls Kevin Owens out there to ask why. Jericho's in full babyface mode right now. And he's talking about Jerichoholics and all that again. Fine. Kevin Owens comes out and says he never stabbed his best friend in the back because he was never his best friend to begin with. And he calls Jericho a tool that he used. And once he became champion, he outlived his usefulness once he accepted a match on his behalf with a Goldberg for his championship. He says that what he did at the Festival of Friendship was sparing Jericho by letting him walk away. But he's not going to let that happen again. And Jericho says that he's just getting started and it's going to lead to him and Kevin Owens at WrestleMania for the U.S. title. Kevin says that's fine if you put the U.S. title on the line, and Jericho accepts, obviously. He invites Kevin Owens to the ring, who actually gets in the ring. They brawl until Samoa Joe comes out and they both beat him down. Sami Zayn comes out to even the odds with the chair, and Jericho eventually stands tall with the chair and takes out Joe and Kevin Owens. We then get an immediate Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn match. So overall, strong opening segment. Kevin Owens and Jericho easily have the best story going into WrestleMania. No question about it that these two have a very good chemistry as friends and hopefully as enemies as well. So we get the match here of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Yup, WWE just cannot stay away from this. They're great together, but WWE just, they don't care about the final chapter marketing in rivalries, do they? It's the final chapter in this rivalry. And how many times have we seen Sasha versus Charlotte since the roadblock? How many times have we seen Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens since their, quote, final chapter of a match? I don't know if it was Extreme Rules, but over the summer, it just means nothing. Neville versus Rich Swann for the Cruiserweight Championship. Neville wins after about 5 minutes by submission. And then we had a great segment with Austin Aries. He interviews Neville after the match and says that there isn't anyone up to his level. And Austin Aries has his people start chanting his name, and he says, "Can't think of anyone? Really?" Neville says, "You can't be serious suggesting yourself." Neville tells Aries to leave the ring and go back to his announcer's desk. Aries says he has one more question. Well, it's actually a statement. He then knocks down Neville as he retreats. Really good segment. Fans into it. Of course, Chicago is a good place to do this because of the, quote, hardcore audience there. Good segment. And I think it's going to be an awesome match at WrestleMania. Yes, it's unannounced, but it's implied. It's going to be Austin Aries versus Neville for the Cruiserweight Championship. And I'm really looking forward to that. We then have the Goldberg segment. Some booze from Chicago, and he says he stands there, a humbled man, and he has some information to reveal, which he never gets to. Heyman interrupts and says he didn't come here alone. Brock comes out and comes face-to-face with Goldberg. Heyman says Brock came to shake his hand and congratulate him, but he's here to reveal a spoiler. At the end of WrestleMania, there will be a new reigning, defending Universal Champion, and you guessed it, it's Brock. He goes to shake the hand of Goldberg, and instead, Goldberg gets laid out with an F5. I think this is the first time Goldberg has been laid out since his return. I enjoyed it. Rick Rude is announced into the Hall of Fame. And then, of course, it's Women's History Month. WWE and their corporate philanthropy image and corporate partners make me vomit. Nothing against women, but it's International Women's Day, folks. Women's History Month isn't really a thing. WWE makes it up. It's not a thing. Is next month Transgender History Month? I mean, how much more PC and sensitive can we make sure that WWE is to all races and religions, and we're so diverse and we make sure we're covering all of our bases, and look what the Black History Month is, and my God, it's Women's History Month, and oh my goodness, we're such a great company, anti-bullying. shut your mouth, WWE, please. It makes me vomit. I know they're publicly traded and it's a different company now. It just feels so soft and catering and pandering and look at us and pat ourselves on the back. Enough. This corporate image bullshit makes me gag. Yeah, that's kind of the word of the day. Bayley's segment with Mick Foley was next. And Bayley says that she feels like she should call herself champion, but with everything that happened last night, she's having trouble wrapping her head around it. Boy, this promo sounds about a week late. She says it doesn't feel right. Again, a week late. Mick says it only matters where you're going, not how you got there. Wait, what? Since when, Mick? Ugh. When Mick asks her who her WrestleMania opponent's going to be, Sasha comes out and says that she just doesn't, just because Charlotte said she was going, I'm totally mumbling words here, guys. Basically, Sasha comes out and then Charlotte follows, saying that she was going to tell Dana to stay in the back. Just because she told her to doesn't mean that she would have. But she didn't come out. You did, Sasha. So Sasha was explaining that even though Dana Brooke was in the back and told to stay in the back, doesn't mean she was going to. So she came out. But she stayed in the back. You didn't. Sasha says that her and Bayley could tear the house down at WrestleMania. Stop. Don't pull a Dolph Ziggler and worry about stealing the show. It's not about performances. It's about winning. Don't talk about tearing the house down. You will tear the house down by winning and having a great match. We will tell you. And afterwards, if you tore the house down, don't go in with the intention telling people you want to tear the house down. That tells me you're more worried about putting on a show than winning. Shut up. Sorry, guys. I'm a little intense today. Just some of this stuff is frustrating as a fan. It's really frustrating. I know it may not irk some people, but some of this language used makes me vomit. I know it's fake, guys, but fool me. Fool me. I don't watch wrestling to be reminded I'm watching something staged. I watch it to get emotionally invested. And I can't do that if you're telling me you're going to put on a good performance. I can't. So, okay, let's see. Charlotte comes out and says Sasha's plan is clear, that she wanted Bayley to retain because the stipulation for Roadblock, end of the line, was that the loser doesn't get a rematch. Makes sense. A lot of the heels are giving really good points over the last few weeks. Stephanie comes out to loud CM Punk chants, and she addresses them saying, CM Punk's a loser like we all are. Okay, whatever. Stephanie calls Sasha manipulative and says Charlotte should be given a rematch. The segment ends with Stephanie making Sasha versus Bayley, and if Sasha wins, she's in the match at Mania, making it a triple threat. Here's the one thing I have about Stephanie McMahon. She never gets hers. Stephanie and her character, whoever's making the call, always has to chop the legs or the balls off of whomever she's speaking with. She always has to have the last laugh, the last word. Everyone's seems to be kind of afraid of her, and she always has to have the quick wit of the last laugh. And it's infuriating because that is not what a good heel character is. She feels like the boss that people have at work, that they're just going home and rewatching their day at work. I don't want to be that. Stone Cold Steve Austin with Vince. Vince got his. Stephanie always has to have the last laugh. And it's not a fun thing to watch. It's exhausting because she sucks the air out of the room. And there's no payoff with Stephanie. It just makes no sense. That's why the character is beyond stale. Okay, so Sasha versus Bayley. Why does WWE act like we don't understand the rules of a triple threat? Every single time there's a triple threat. I don't care if it's just a freaking random match on Raw, a pay-per-view, a WrestleMania triple threat. Doesn't matter. We always have to be reminded that, oh yeah, by the way, guys, the champion doesn't have to get pinned or submit to lose the belt. No way. Really? When did that change? I don't get it. It makes... Okay, let's move along. Sasha wins with the bank statement after Charlotte tried to interfere on Bayley's behalf to keep it one-on-one. A little bit sloppy of an ending, but for now it's a triple threat, but something tells me next week it'll be a fatal four-way with Nia interjecting herself. Charlotte takes out both Bayley and Sasha after the match. Okay, video package on Seth. Really good therapy package here. I know some people didn't like it. I did, because it humanized Seth. It made him a little bit more relatable. I know that he didn't talk about Triple H and his match with Triple H. To me, that doesn't matter. We're getting a little bit more of the real Seth here instead of just his character. He has a few more weeks to talk about his match with Hunter. So I know that that's the focus, but to me, it humanized him. And I like that. Triple H says if the doctors are telling him not to, then Seth is simply showing stupidity and says that he never tried to make up names for himself, nicknames. Other people did. And Seth has to call himself the man because nobody else does. Triple H warns Seth again about not calling him out. Okay, let's move on. Again, this is going to be a lot of video packages and live via satellite build, as I expected. Y2J and Samoa Joe. I love Samoa Joe's punches, by the way. They just don't look like the typical wrestling punch. It looks like a fighter's punch. It's good stuff. The Kokita Clutch, I got to figure out how to pronounce that, on Jericho outside causes it a count out, and Joe attempts to do more damage after the match, but gives Joe a code breaker, which doesn't take down Joe. I really, really love Joe here. WWE is doing a good job with him, and Joe himself is doing a great job. So, here's the question. When does Brock versus Joe happen? SummerSlam? WrestleMania next year? It's happening, and I'm very intrigued to see it. Braun Strowman and Reigns segment. Strowman says Reigns got lucky last night, and he calls out Reigns, and instead gets The Undertaker. So, funny that the match we all dreaded could happen last year of Taker versus Strowman is now a match we wouldn't mind seeing. So, we get some holy shit chants, and Strowman exits the ring through the crowd. Roman then comes out to insane boos, as expected. Reigns tells Taker that Strowman wasn't calling him out, and this is my yard now. Undertaker ends up chokeslamming Reigns and stares at the WrestleMania sign. Where does this leave Braun, though? The Battle Royal? Does it really leave Braun Strowman in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal? Does it really? I hope not. But at the same time, I don't know if I want a triple threat with Undertaker and Roman. So, I don't know. It kind of leaves Strowman in an odd position after a build all year to just be in the Battle Royal. So, that's just my thoughts there. SmackDown Live, guys. Let's get into it quickly. It started with a video package last week of Randy turning on Bray. And is Randy really the babyface in this situation? When you consider he's the one that turned on Bray and burned his house down, he's the good guy? Think about that. Shane and Brian opened the show, and they both give their points of view as to why AJ and Randy should get their championship opportunity at WrestleMania. And Shane says nobody in the history of winning the Royal Rumble has given up their opportunity. Nobody? Really, Shane? You sure? Nobody. What about your dad in 1999? Maybe 18 years ago is too far, but the rule book says it should actually be the runner-up, if you watch that story, and Roman Reigns should be the man who's actually facing Bray Wyatt, but that's obviously not going to happen, and rules are just when we need them. So they go through the whole rigmarole of what we already know, that AJ and Randy's happening tonight, and what is the third number one contenders match for Bray's championship? Yep. It took 3 weeks until WrestleMania to actually establish a number one contender. Yeah. Ellsworth and Carmella versus Cena and Nikki. Cena and Nikki win with the double AAs and tap outs. A little clunky, but I get it. They're a team. They're husband and wife. Well, probably soon to be, right? Miz and Maryse attack them after the match. And Miz gets on the mic and says Cena and Nikki's plastic relationship spits on every real relationship. Kurt Hawkins calls out Dean. And again, after what he did last week, he gets clotheslined and then calls out Corbin again after Dean comes out. Corbin appears on Tron and says he doesn't come to the ring when he's told, but when he's ready, he will take everything from Dean. Dean says if he's not going to come to him, then I'll come find you. Dean hits Dirty Deeds on Kurt Hawkins on the way out. We have a Mojo Rawley segment next, and he says he wants his WrestleMania moment and is announcing himself into the Battle Royal. Ziggler interrupts and says that he just doesn't get handed a WrestleMania moment. You earn them. Rawley says, oh, is that why you don't have one? So I like the new Rawley, who's not always getting hyped and staying hyped. A little bit more of a toned down Mojo Rawley. I enjoyed it. It was refreshing. Not so cartoonish, which I liked. And so Ambrose finally finds Corbin backstage, who blindsides him with a lead pipe and then sets a forklift on him. I'm really enjoying this rivalry. To me, I'm more excited about this than I was for Brock and Dean, even though Brock is a much, obviously, much, much bigger name than Corbin.
this rivalry is just overachieving. The medical report says that he has bruised, possibly broken ribs, and he's coughing up blood. Just really nice touch. The intensity is nice. Corbin has come leaps and bounds from his WrestleMania last year when he debuted and won the Battle Royal. I'm liking it. I really am, and I'm looking forward to the match. The Bliss rotation was next. Alexa announces her opponents, who are they're not going to be, and we get this whole rigmarole. There's another word of the day. Eventually, everyone turns on everybody, and Mickey even makes her case and turns it into a mess before Daniel Bryan comes out and says Alexa will be defending her championship against every available woman on the SmackDown Live women's roster. And then he makes a tag team match. So is this going to be a battle royal? I don't know. WWE is a fan of these big matches that have a lot of people in them just to get everyone on the card, which to me, I do not agree with. I do not agree with that. To me, it should be the best of the best, not just to put bodies on the show. But that's neither here nor there because I have no say. Alexa Bliss and Mickie James versus Natty and Becky. Becky is in for the majority of the match, and Natty ends up turning on Becky, as every woman in WWE seems to do to her, costing them the match, and Mickie James ends up kicking Alexa in the head after the win. Basically, nobody can trust anybody, and it's every woman for themselves for that belt. Message received. Randy Orton versus AJ Styles, a really nice match. Likely not the last time these two meet in 2017, I'm guessing. And Orton wins clean in a nice finish with the RKO. Good falls finishes at the end. No Bray, though. And still no indication on the show, anyway, of AJ and Shane. But Talking Smack did, however, point in that direction that they're going of AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon. Let's just get through it and move on. That's what I say about that. But really nice finishes here. And, you know, I don't know where Bray is. I'm assuming he'll come back next week. He's probably mourning the loss of Sister Abigail, who's already dead anyway, or mourning the loss of his home. I don't know. but Orton wins clean, and that's what should have happened, because you can't have the guy who won the Rumble go through all of this with Bray, a long-running story of just infiltrating Bray Wyatt just to have a tainted win and then go on to WrestleMania and face Bray. It's going to be interesting to see, though. Does Randy get cheered against Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania? I don't know. That's going to be something that is going to be a question mark. So, guys, thank you for joining me. Again, follow me on Twitter at Matt's Madness. Or the WWE Podcast. You can go to WWEPodcast.com or MattsMadness.com for all of your podcasting needs and posts and blogs and how to help the show. And how to help the show? Rate and review me in iTunes. It really does help out in ratings and everything else. So, guys, thank you. I apologize for the rants and the occasional swear word or two, but to me it was warranted as a frustrated fan. Not on the talent's part, but the booking end. And that is something that... just left a lot to be desired this week and a lot of head-scratching moments throughout the week. So, guys, thank you. WrestleMania, 3 weeks away. I'm excited. Get excited. And as Pitbull would say, give me the green light and let's get ready to go. So, guys, talk to you later. Until then, take care.